What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show, and happy Friday to you. Friday, September 20th, 2024. We made it to the weekend. Congratulations. It's a football Friday. We had football last night. Not the best of football, but at least for me, Antonio Gibson got more than 23 and a half yards. Why do I include the half there? Well, that's because Hard Rock Bet includes the half. So Thursday night football was fine for me and some of my close friends on Instagram. But now we got a full weekend of football. Tackle football, we're going to enjoy it. The Dolphins heading to Seattle. Tua's traveling with them. The Skyler Bowl. Skyler versus Geno. Just what we were all waiting for, or not. The Canes, they're in Tampa. They're going to be facing South Florida, which is actually north of South Florida. North and to the west. I've always tried to make that make sense, and I think I looked it up a couple times, but I don't even remember why USF in Tampa is called University of South Florida. But whatever. I was thinking yesterday, at least in the early afternoon hours, even the middle of the afternoon, I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a Friday show. It's going to be almost all football talk. The Dolphins in Seattle, the Canes in Tampa. Lots and lots of football, a preview, a lot of context, everything. And then sports happened. And it happened right in our backyard. Lone Depot Park. Little Havana became the center of the sports world, which is wild. But unbelievably, it's true. Shohei Ohtani, my gosh. A performance that people will be talking about forever. And it happens late afternoon, a random Thursday, early evening, in Little Havana, not that far from Versailles. Just amazing. How lucky are we? We've had a lot of events take place in South Florida. We have missed things at Lone Depot Park. Such as Ichiro hitting 3,000. That happened at Coors Field. I was like, what a moment that could have been, where anytime you see the highlight, you're going to see the Marlins ballpark. It'll be something that will be remembered forever if you were watching the game or if you were at the game. But it happened at Coors Field. And now nobody remembers it in South Florida. Maybe you do. But the fact that Shohei put on a performance, almost, you could say, a perfect performance. Some people are saying a perfect performance. And it happened at Lone Depot Park. The highlights, you'll see them forever. I'm surprised, now that I think about it, because when I say highlights and you'll see them forever, I'm surprised Marlins man wasn't there behind home plate.
Do you know who I am?
But then again, who thought, including myself, who thought this would happen yesterday? Ohtani had to hit two. He also had to steal a base. Who thought it would happen? We know Ohtani could hit two home runs in a game. But not only does this dude hit two, he hits three? Just absolutely incredible. So I want to get into that story. I'll get into the Dolphins going to Seattle, the Canes in Tampa. There's plenty to talk about. It is a football Friday, but because of Shohei, it will not be a one-sport show. It will not just be football on this early afternoon. I went back this morning while I was having my coffee and eating breakfast. Two eggs over, hard with some bacon and toast. Really good. Three coffees this morning from like 8 a.m. to about 10 a.m. I don't know if that's normal or not. But I was going over everything and I remembered, because sometimes I forget. I got so many things going on and it's like, okay, you got to focus. It's like when I'm playing poker, you got to focus. So I was going over my Pick'em Challenge, which is happening on my site, SlaterScoops.com. And I said, did I take the Jets or the Patriots last night? And I took the Patriots plus 6.5. So I'm 0-1 to start the week. Thankfully, I didn't take that on the app. I wouldn't do that. But I took them trying to get that $100 gift card to Flanagan's. I give that away every single week. So head on over to my site, SlaterScoops.com, and be part of my 15th annual Football Pick'em Challenge if you're not already. And if you're just going to sign up now, it's okay. It's never too late. It's almost like having the Patriots last night. Same thing. You lost. But maybe you'll roll off every other game. Every single week, you could win a $100 gift card to Flanagan's. And then whoever's got the most winners against the spread at the end of 18 weeks, you and a guest will fly away to Costa Rica. All thanks to the Costa Rica dental team. You want to get some dental work done when you're there? They're going to hook you up, get a cleaning, have yourself a nice vacation, and it's free to play. The guy who won last year, he just went there a few months ago. He emailed me and said it was an unbelievable time, thanking me so much. All he had to do was pick games against the spread, and it cost him nothing. So that could be you. People are talking about the Ohtani 50 ball. The chances of catching that, very, very, very slim. Got to be in the right spot. Then you got to fend off all these other people. I saw the video. The guy who got the ball went on the ground, like scrambling for it. I thought he was crazy putting his hand in the air with the ball. Like somebody would snatch it. But nobody did. He put his hand in the air with the ball. I got it. And then security took him away, and he still got the ball. Smart man. I am trying to verify some information on that, of course, so I can bring you the
Slater Scoop.
I'm pretty close, but I'm not there yet. I like many, many, many sources. Right now, I got three sources telling me the same thing. But I want more than three. Some people will just go with one or two. Okay, I got two. I'm going with it. But I gotta make sure that sources aren't hearing it. I just banged my microphone. Sorry about that. I got excited. Got to make sure sources aren't hearing it from the same people. And there's a lot that goes into a
Slater's Scoop.
When you see those words, which are trademarked, when you see that phrase, it's got to be 100% true. Not 99. Not, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure. No, it's got to be 100% true. It could be denied, which is fine. People think that sometimes because I put out a
Slater's Scoop
and it'll get denied by a person or a party. They're like, oh, see, you got it wrong. Just because somebody denies something doesn't mean the initial report is wrong. People deny things all of the time. Go to a courthouse. Go to any court hearing. There's always a denial. Not guilty. Oh, he denied it. In any event, I have many things to get to. As I said, I thought it would be a lot of football, and it will be a lot of football. The majority of this hour will be football. But what happened yesterday changed where I'm going to start the hour. And I think you know where it will start. But I can't do anything else until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
What we saw yesterday, or what you saw the highlights of from yesterday, That might have been the best individual sports performance by any athlete on South Florida turf. I know South Florida has hosted Super Bowls. I know we've hosted national championships. D. Wade had his game three against Dallas, and I know what the stakes were. Yesterday, the stakes were nowhere near as high. But what Shohei Ohtani did, how can that be topped? Mathematically, how can that be topped? He was 6 for 6. He had 3 homers. He had 10 runs batted in. He had 2 steals. And he became the first major league player ever to join the 50-50 club. His team also clinched the playoff spot. And it was his 1-year anniversary of having Tommy John surgery. What else could somebody do to top that? I'm okay with saying what I'm about to say. I don't think it's being in the moment. I just think it's true. It may sound crazy, but Shohei Ohtani is the best baseball player ever. He's able to hit homers with anyone. He can run with anyone. And he throws 100 miles per hour as a pitcher. There has never been a player like Shohei Ohtani. He's better at every part of the game than everyone else. Aaron Judge, he is the second best player in baseball right now. Shohei is number one right now, of course, and I think Shohei is number one of all time. Don't get confused. I'm not just saying right now for Shohei. I'm saying ever in the history of the game. The Dodgers got him for $700 million. And believe it or not, I think that's a bargain. If you consider what a show Shohei is, the ratings, the gate, how the dude impacts winning, how he builds the global brand, not just for the Dodgers, I'm talking about baseball. The dude is simply ridiculous. And he seems like the nicest guy you would ever meet. I've never met him. But the way he greets the umpires and the players at the plate, if a ball fouls off the catcher or the umpire, he's like, I'm really sorry. People want to make a case that Shohei should never pitch again. It's too risky. Even though he's amazing at it, and he's a top of the rotation guy, we know pitchers get hurt, and they get hurt often. Shohei is very valuable. He's already had Tommy John surgery. At the plate, he's the best power hitter and base stealer. So you hear comments out there, why risk any injury by pitching him? There was even thought of him pitching again this postseason, but the Dodgers GM, I believe yesterday or earlier today, kind of shut that down. I have a lot of respect for what happened yesterday. And a lot of respect for the Marlins manager, soon to be former manager, Skip Schumacher. The way he handled the situation, there was a cutaway on the Dodgers broadcast where basically, I think it was one of Skip's bench coaches asking him, hey, do you want to walk Ohtani? This was before his 50th homer. And he said, F that. He didn't say F. He said F with 3 letters behind it. Skip Schumacher, he honored the game and he honored the accomplishment. And the Marlins went right at Shohei. Didn't work out for them. But why ruin history? Why ruin the inevitable? If a guy is going to go 6 for 6 and hit 3 bombs, you tip your cap and you say, heck of a game. There's nothing you could do. Honor it. In all of my experience watching baseball, and I'm talking about years and years and years and years, whether I was in the stands, the press box, the dugout, the field, because I was a bat boy, if I was at home, if I was on a plane watching it, wherever I've been watching the game my entire life, I have never seen a hitter as locked in as Shohei was last night. Every pitch that he had an opportunity to drive, he demolished it. I'd never seen that before. He's one of one. There is nothing near another Shohei Ohtani, and there probably will never be. The only shame is that we only get to see Shohei Ohtani in Miami a few times a year, unless the World Baseball Classic's in town. The dude loves Lone Depot Park. I don't know what it is, but he always does big things there. He's a big fan of Little Havana. He loves playing there. Hitting, pitching, the dude's incredible. And I love seeing how fans in South Florida appreciate the opportunity to see him. Imagine if the Marlins spent money and they were able to sign Shohei. Look at the crowd that they had. I know it was for a feat, and I know it's the Dodgers in town, but this dude, he brings people to the ballpark. He's unbelievable. He's remarkable. He's incredible. I'm going to run out of adjectives at some point, because he's beyond whatever description you could give him. If I was there yesterday, and I wasn't, but if I was, I probably would have been in right field. That means I wouldn't have got number 50 because it went opposite field. It landed in left. And to the guy who got that ball, you talk about getting a payday. Forget about six figures. I think you're looking at seven figures. That's why I thought it was crazy when he put the ball up in the air. Hey, I got it. It's like you're almost holding $1 million in the air. Hey, I got $1 million. Somebody going to snag it from you? I mean, we're talking about Miami. I know there's cameras and everything. But in Lone Depot Park, out of all places, lands what could be $1 million baseball. It's so wild. Here you have this horrendous baseball team, the Marlins, and you may have a seven-figure baseball land in left field. The guy who caught the ball, he's smart for walking away with it, leaving with it. Figure out how much you're going to sell it for, who you're going to sell it to. Trading that ball for meeting Ohtani or for an amount of money that is not at least half a mil, I think that would be a bad idea. Remember, the guy who hit the ball gets $700 million with his Dodgers contract. So something tells me the guy who caught the ball is going to get near a mil. I don't know from who, but I think it'll be from somebody. And that could set your family up for a long, long time. That's what I look at doing when I try to hit a parlay. Hey, I've hit two already, 30K, 16K. Hit one last year for 26K. I'm going for six figures, maybe this week or the following week. Doesn't mean I'm going to get it, but I'm going for it. Why not? We got 18 weeks of football. Some people are out in left field looking for number 50 home run balls. I'm on the app looking for six-figure payouts. I know it's not guaranteed, but I'm still looking for it. I'm also looking for a lot of chips when I go to the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. My tournament, we just had it on Tuesday, and we had a heck of a turnout, almost a record turnout. My next tournament won't be until next month, and I'll give you more details when it gets closer. But you don't have to wait for my tournament to go play in one. Right now, at the Hard Rock in the Poker Room, they got the Everglades Poker Open going on. Hundreds of thousands of dollars up for grabs. If you don't have time to enter a tournament, you can enter a cash game. Just go in there, sit down, play some No Limit Hold'em, some Pot Limit Omaha. If you want to see the entire tournament schedule, the bonus high hands that they're giving out, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. I hope to see you in the poker room so I could try to take your chips. I like finishing in first place in tournaments. Who doesn't? But it'll be fun to play at a table with some of you from the audience. I've done it before, and I'm sure I'll do it again very soon. So I hope to see you at the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Who's ready for the Skyler Show? That sounds like a strip club thing. Next on the main, Skyler. Well, Skyler's going to be on the main stage in Seattle for the Miami Dolphins. We tend to simplify football by talking about quarterback play because it's the guy who handles the ball every single play. And also because the same few quarterbacks tend to win. Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, at least against the Patriots. Brady forever. But in this case, with Skyler, I don't think it's so much about how he handles the ball. I think it's about how he handles this entire situation. This is a huge ask. Skylar Thompson comes in with a team that just lost Tua for a minimum of four games. And you're talking about an offense that wasn't playing that well to begin with. The offense for Miami already this year has just been meh. Now, Skyler steps in, and he's got to run everything. Skyler's driving the car. And that car, it was custom built for Tua. The entire offense was built around Tua's skill set. And now Skyler's got to make it his own. I think where we need to start with Skyler is the ability for him to be confident. Skyler's got to make his teammates believe that he believes in himself. The first job of any QB is operational. Get the plays in, get everyone lined up, get the ball snapped. You may think that sounds easy, but what if you add on to the top of that all of these fans in Seattle, where supposedly it's one of the loudest and most difficult places to play if you're the road team. Part of Skyler's job is to keep the offense on task. Prevent pre-snap penalties. You got to have everything run smoothly. There's never a good time to lose your starter, especially when it's Tua. But to have to go on the road for your first start across the country in Seattle, it's hard to think of a positive outcome here. And to make matters worse, the line protecting you has been terrible. Pass protection has not been good. Skyler's got to understand where the pressure is. He's got to avoid it. He's got to use his legs, perhaps extend plays or get the ball out quickly. Got to do that all before the pressure gets to him. What he's got going for him is Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Devon Achane. Doesn't sound like he's going to have Raheem Mostert. Got Jonnu Smith there. The Dolphins have playmakers. So if Skyler can get Waddle or Tyreek the ball with some open space, they could still get some quick strikes. The offense is capable of big plays, but somebody's got to make them. Mike McDaniel seems to genuinely believe in Skyler Thompson. I say that because, first of all, he said it. He said that Skyler has earned the respect of that room The guys in the locker room know all the countless hours that he's put in. He's ready for this opportunity. But to me, actions speak louder than words. The action is Mike McDaniel giving the ball to Skylar Thompson and not anybody else. He could have brought in any backup quarterback that's out there. They could have made a pitch to Ryan Tannehill. They could have drafted a quarterback. They could have kept Mike White. There were plenty of opportunities to not have Skylar be the man for this team, but Mike McDaniel didn't take those opportunities. He believed in Skylar Thompson, and now he gets at least a four-game sample to prove his worth. Now, Miami did bring in Snoop Huntley, Tyler Huntley. So if Skylar sputters, the Dolphins at least have an option. I could imagine that type of move, though, would not happen right away in Seattle. I think this game is definitely Skylar's. But based on how he does and how the team does, Mike McDaniel can reevaluate that. For a quarterback to come in the same week, sign a contract, and then play with an offense that Mike McDaniel runs and one that he had no idea about, that's probably too big of an ask. I would imagine it would take more than a week. So right now, I don't think Skylar has any heat at his back for this game. He's just got to go out there and do his thing. What is Skylar's thing? That's what we're all waiting to find out. Now, if you're looking to do something before the Dolphins hit that field on Sunday, why don't you head on out to Gulfstream Park? You could do that right now this afternoon. You could do it tomorrow. You could do it anytime you want on Sunday. Live racing happening at Gulfstream Park. It is the Sunshine Meet going on right now at Gulfstream. Live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, plus the championship meet. That is right around the corner. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I enjoy going to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. Indoors, the AC is kicking. You could wager on all the races happening live right in front of you. Saturday and Sunday, they got the buffet going on. You could order off of the menu anytime you want. You want to hang out in the Carousel Club, a really cool spot to watch the races and have a good time as well. It's the Sunshine Meet. The races are live every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's all going down right now in Hollidale Beach, 3 days a week at Gulfstream Park. The Miami Dolphins, we know, have a very tough test in Seattle. How tough will the test be for our other Miami football team, the Canes, in Tampa? They're on the road, short trip. USF, they gave Alabama a fight, made the game competitive until the fourth quarter. As Mario Cristobal said earlier this week, watch the Bama game, 3-4 clips in, you realize what a tough, imposing, difficult team this is to play. This is the last non-conference game for the U before they come back home for a random Friday night game against Virginia Tech. That's when the ACC season begins. Remember, no Coastal, no Atlantic anymore, just the best record. Those conference games have an added weight, but Miami's ranked eighth. When you earn a top 10 ranking, giving that up is not on the agenda. Conference, non-conference, whatever. The Canes are in a really good spot. Playing on ESPN at night, big audience. Make a statement. The Cam Ward Heisman talk, that's real. He's the best quarterback the Canes have had since, I don't know, it's been a very long time. He wanted one more year to improve his draft stock, and mission accomplished. If he keeps playing like this, there's really no limit to how high he can go. Just depends on what team falls in love with the way he plays. Could be the number one overall pick. I posted the odds on that on my Twitter feed earlier this morning. The dude, his brain is a computer. He's just incredible. Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10. He's going to join me next. Here on this Friday, Clay Ferraro from WPLG Local 10 with us on the Andy Slater Show. Clay, what are you going to do with that 50th home run ball?
Oh, man. I would sell it immediately. Like, there would be no,
I thought you got
question
it.
About it.
But I thought you're the one that got the ball.
No. Oh, that wasn't supposed to become public knowledge, Andy. I was going to sell it through a pen name and an eBay name, a fake eBay name. Yeah, yeah.
Has there ever been anything bigger sporting event-wise? I was bringing it up earlier. I know we live in the moment. Everything yesterday was the biggest thing ever. But in all seriousness, South Florida-wise, a sporting event, has there been a better performance we've had in South Florida than Ohtani yesterday?
Man, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. I would have to go back and look at more important games because I'm a big believer in, you know, what do you do in the biggest of games and the biggest of moments? And I feel like we probably had Dwayne Wade takeover games that led to victories. I feel like, you know, the LeBron performance that is so classic was the game six in Boston. So I would probably lean towards, yeah, we've had plenty of them just because that game was not competitive. And it's more, to me, it's still ultimately about the team. And look, I know they won, what, 20-4, whatever it was. Now, was it an insane, like, as far as a perfect performance, a literal perfect performance? And if you're measuring it against the standard of perfection, it's, yeah, sure, absolutely. I just think that the value of the performance itself was more individualistic than it is team. So I guess it kind of depends on what you value there.
Well, it could have been better. I mean, we say perfect, but he could have been pitching at the same time and thrown a perfect game.
By the way, that's my other hot take that I don't like. It's not like a hot take for hot take. I don't think he should ever pitch again. This guy is too valuable at what he does. So I would just.
But if he could do both.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's – look, you know, it's in modern times, like we've gone so far the other way with having, you know, erring on the side of like saving people's arms. Yet 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, the best pitcher in the game, one of the best pitchers in the game, they said, nah, you know what? You're too good of a hitter. Let's just have you focus on that. Like I just think if Babe Ruth and the people who were around Babe Ruth decided, hey, it's time to stop pitching and focus on hitting, like I think Ohtani, same thing. Why risk the injury? Why? And look, he's doing this in a year after he had Tommy John had the elbow injury, and now he's still doing this hitting. So because he's only focusing on hitting, imagine what he can do just focusing on hitting and being 100% healthy. I just, you know.
Well, if you think Ohtani should never pitch again, would you say Tua should never run again?
Yeah.
He should never go forward again. Just
absolutely.
Like, no matter what, open field ahead, just don't go forward.
I think there are learn how to what was the old know when to say when. Right, like the old Bud Light or Budweiser, whatever it was, commercial. Know when to say when. Know when to get down. No, you don't take moving forward out of the equation completely. But you know, I was watching the Jets last night, and Aaron Rodgers had a play where even at his age, he knew where to go to avoid the hit. I don't know that Tua is ever going to be there. I don't. I just feel like there's too much evidence to the contrary, you know, despite the fact that he's had these injuries. And yeah, he made it through a season healthy last year. So what does he do in the offseason? He loses weight and goes out there and gets hurt. I just think as much as he will say, and as much as he will focus on doing things on his own time and working hard, by the way, to protect himself, I just think he's too much of a competitor. And I'm, you know, I don't mean that to sound like a criticism at all. Like, he's a competitor. He wants to win. And yet he just hasn't figured out that moment where you have to get out of bounds, where you have to get down. And unless and until he does, I would err on the side of, look, get 1 or 2 yards and then get down, regardless of what you think you can get moving forward.
He's traveling with the team to Seattle, Clay. What do you think that says? What do you think that means?
I don't know. I just think, like, I think if you try to project anything at this point, you're playing doctor, and I can't like even begin to do that. It does seem like, you know, probably a positive thing that they don't feel like he has to just sit around the house and avoid bright lights and stuff like that. And yet he is on IR, and so, you know, I can't pretend to like know what any of that means. I think it's probably good for him to be around the team, good for him to have a second set of eyes for Skylar Thompson. But yet, as far as any like projection, like I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and I don't want to try to play one on.
Well,
radio.
I'm going to try to make you play one for just another 60 seconds. I'll do my best. I don't know if you'll take it, but to the people that say he's never going to play football again, forget about it. If that is the case, are you having him travel all the way across country right away to Seattle?
No, of course not. Of course not. Well, let me step back on that. If you have if you are on the fence on that, but you think that there's a lot of value in him still being there and acting as a de facto coach to be there with Skylar Thompson and it won't cause any sort of harm, then yeah, maybe. But I don't know that from the beginning of this, I've looked at it as, oh, he's never going to play again. You know, I think obviously there is that momentary, oh man, that looks awful. I don't know if we're ever going to see, you know, but I think when you step back and you rationally think about it, there isn't a single world where I think the injuries in the past have happened with Tua and he has not had conversations with his family, with doctors about what the repercussions would be of the next one. You know what I mean? And I don't think at any point during those did he say, okay, I'm going to come back, but if I get one more, I'm done. You know, I don't think that's happening.
What do you think is going to happen now with the Miami Dolphins season now that Tua's on IR? And some people say they got a soft schedule, but you take a look at Skylar Thompson as their quarterback. So what does Clay Ferrero see coming?
It ain't great, you know, because I think there are other issues. The fact you don't have Mostert, you can't. Well, I mean, we'll see what the final designation is there, you know, but when an optimistic Mike McDaniel says he's pessimistic about Raheem Mostert playing, that's not great. You know, you've got guys banged up too. It's not just the guys who aren't going to play. You got other guys who are banged up, and I get it. Seattle's hurting too, but Seattle's also Geno Smith is playing well. So I just think you're going in there, and it's going to be a really difficult environment to play in, and a tough place to get a win. And yeah, look, obviously you're not going to play the best of the best. It's not like you're going up against the Chiefs every single weekend, and yet it's still really hard to win games in the NFL. It's even harder with a backup quarterback, and so it's difficult. Now, if you can find a way to squeeze out one or two wins over the next few weeks until Tua comes back, maybe you feel a little bit better about the rest of the trajectory of the season. And yet, I really like what I saw from the Jets last night. Nobody's going to want to hear that. I really like what
it was the Patriots, though. I mean, come on.
I mean, Pats beat the Bengals in week one. It's more that the talent on that roster that, you know, you were just like, they're on paper, they're talented, but is it coming? It looked like it's starting to come together a little bit. And Aaron Rodgers looks really, really. So I just think when you look at the rest of the conference and specifically the rest of the division, yeah, the Patriots don't look great, but man, right now I'd feel better about the trajectory of the Jets season than I do the Dolphins, and the division title is still going to go through Buffalo.
Do you feel though, Clay, that at some point here in the next four games, and I hate to be pessimistic about it, but do you feel that the Dolphins season at some point over the next month or so could be over?
If they go 0-4, yeah. You know, I think 1-5, especially with what the schedule would look like the rest of the way, is daunting and beyond daunting, frankly. And especially when you look at the rest of the division and what the Bills looked like on Thursday night and what I think we've seen historically they look like, and really with what the Jets look like right now with Aaron Rodgers. I get it, it's early, but I just think that the competition level, when you look through the rest of the conference, if you get to 1-5, even with Tua coming back, it's really tough. 2-4 to me at least feels like you're still in the ball game. At least it feels so. When you ask me, is there a point where it could be over or at least feel over? Yeah, it would be 1-5. It would be 1-5, and maybe a couple of other guys hurt, and you just look at the rest of the conference and feel like the mountain is too high to climb. With the opposite part of that, the flip side is you win one game without Tua and he comes back. I do think you feel like there's at least that glimmer of hope.
I thought you were going to say, Clay, the flip side is we got the University of Miami and Cam Ward, and part of you feels they can go undefeated, but that didn't come out of your mouth. Will that ever come out of your mouth?
You didn't ask me directly about it.
Well, I know, but when you said the flip side, I thought that's where you were going to go, but you kept it with the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, that is the exact opposite, by the way, is how I feel about the Hurricanes right now. I do feel like they've got every opportunity to do just that, and Cam Ward has every opportunity to win the Heisman Trophy.
Well, I don't know. You know, I saw some tweets from USF Fan 22 That said Cam Ward's going to throw 5 interceptions tomorrow. Is that believable?
5 interceptions.
That's
huh?
what I read.
Wow. That's kind of amazing. Look, I do think this will be, not that this is saying much, but it'll be the Canes' toughest test yet. And it's easy to say that in hindsight, because going in to play the Gators in week one, when they've still got something to play for and the fans are fired up, like, that was not an easy environment to walk into. Now, with that said, the players clearly aren't there. USF, at the very least, is starting to put something together. They're going to be a handful. And yet, I think you go back to last week against Ball State. That's the type of game that historically, and by historically, I mean in recent history with the Canes, that even when they think they're back, they'd win like 27-13. And you'd feel hopefully we were saving something for next week. They took care of business. I think that the depth across the board with this team, the way they're winning games, I do think it's different than all the other times that Canes fans have been screaming, "We're back, baby, the U is back." Unless USF fan 22-8-17 knows something that the rest of us don't know, I do feel like the Canes have every opportunity to run the table.
Did you happen to see the line on that game? I'm just curious if you saw it.
No, uh-uh.
Because the way you described it, toughest test, what would you put it at if you were the odds maker?
Well, look, I mean, you're talking about a team that's won every game in dominant. So, I don't know, 22?
Okay, it's 17, I think 17 and a half. I thought the way you were speaking about it, it seemed more like Miami was only going to be about a 9 or 10 point favorite.
Well, no, but that's how I feel about this Miami team, though. Like, I do think it's going to be their toughest test, and yet I think because you asked me that question, I probably erred on the side of being a little bit high. But no, like, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they go in there and win the game by 20 points. Now, that's for entertainment purposes only. Don't get on Hard Rock Bet and bet based on my advice, because you will lose.
Well, you did say 22, so I mean 17 and a half, 18. Except a USF fan on Twitter, you know.
Don't take my advice. It's not going to end well. No.
Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10. You could follow him on social media at ClayWPLG. I appreciate the time. I look forward to chatting again soon when the Miami Dolphins have won 4 consecutive games with Skylar Thompson at quarterback.
Quarterback controversy.
See, I'm trying. Here I am trying to be optimistic, you know. 4 in a row. Skylar can do it. If Skylar can't do it, who can? That's not the way it's said.
Are you going to put down a parlay with that?
I'm sorry. We're losing our communication. I didn't hear that part.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought.
See you later, my friend.
Later.
Clay Ferrero from WPLG Local 10. All right, that's all the time I got for this Friday. Enjoy your football weekend. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.